Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello, everybody. This is Stop Child Abuse Now, Scan Radio, and this is show number 3022. I'm Annie Margis, and I'm going to begin by reading the mission statement of NASCA. NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. It's a nonprofit 501c3 organization. And here's the mission statement. We have a single purpose at NASCA: to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, CSA. Presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And you can learn all about NASCA at their website, and that is NASCA.org, NASCA.org. And tonight we have the honor of having Reverend Hank McGrath. And Reverend, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Annie. And I thank all the listeners and everybody involved. NASCA is a warm place to be where you can get comfort and you can share and you can have confidence, which is rare, to be able to have confidence that you can talk with people who have an insight that interrelates with your own experiences. So I'm thankful for being here. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell the folks, I'm kind of excited because my first book of a four-book series has been released. It was a very hard book to do because it was so extreme, you know. But it's called Slave in Modern America. And again, it's book one. And the release is timed with a campaign, an international campaign for child rights, with the FreeChildProject.com. And we're seeking to have the United States ratify the Declaration of Rights of the Child as a way to change the injustices that happen in our system and empower the well-being of our children. Ironically, children are the only ones who do not actually have rights in the United States. And of course, rights are being fought for children in other countries. The United States is the only one who didn't ratify the rights of the child the Declaration of Rights of the Child in the United Nations, even though in 1989 most of it was written by the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, etc. So we released the new book, Slave in Modern America, and all you got to do is go to facebook.com/VOP Freedom Radio, all one word, V as in Voices of the People, VOP, Freedom Radio. And right there, you'll see the link for Slave in Modern America. And a portion of the royalties go toward this major campaign, which I hope in the future involves NASCA, because I'm looking at doing a large convention. One of the main things that came to me as I thought about partially hosting the show tonight, which is a question and answer. Folks can call in at 646-595-2118 and listen on the phone or participate on the show. But I wanted to bring up present situation that by sheer chance, if some parent or child is listening, it may be of help to them. It's sort of like a proactive healing because we all suffer trauma. But right now, I'm thinking in terms of runaways, children and teens who can't take the abuse anymore run away. And when they do that, which is what's covered in my first book and book two, they make themselves susceptible to further extreme abuse, bad situations like sex slavery and other kinds of things, and endanger their own lives, anything just to get away from the abuse. And so there's various places that parents can call and children can call if they're running away or thinking about running away even. So let me just cover some of that real quick. There's Black and Missing Foundation, www.bamfi.org. And that's www.blackandmissinginc.com. Now, what's so interesting is that's similar to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is www.missingkids.org. Now, the reason why they started the Black and Missing Foundation, and this actually applies for all races and all cultures, is that a lot of the Black families realized that when they were reporting their child missing, the police really didn't activate. Nobody's really interested. It's like what rape victims were going through when they first, you know, were reporting rape. You know what I mean? There's sort of like a disinterest, except for what happened. The cops are interested. But other than that, they're not active. And so they started a foundation that pertains to missing Black children and teens. Like I said, we have the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is www.missingkids.org. Then there's Operation Underground Railroad, and that's www.rrescue.org. And that's if somebody is involved in child sex slavery or sex slavery, period, you contact that organization. Again, for runaways, there's National Runaway Safe Line, which is 1-800-786-2929. That's 1-800-RUNAWAY. And, of course, I'm a Safe Place ambassador. And Safe Place, NationalSafePlace.org. they have a map where, say, a kid can get on now with their phone and they ran away and they can tap their location in the map. And it would show registered safe places the child can go to get help, a little relief, some comfort. And a lot of these people ain't going to rat on you. You know what I mean? They're not going to lead you back to the abuse that so many have been brought back to just so they could close the case. So if you visit www.freechildproject.com, there's a tab there that says help, and it has a listing of all these places that children or parents can go to or call to immediately get help in their situation, including counseling. And when I'm talking about free help, all right, including counseling and safe places to go and, you know, reporting abuse, sexual abuse. We even have those in the military, the DOD Safe Helpline app link for that as well. So my concern today was on how many of us have suffered running away. We were compelled to run into the darkness, which is more dangerous, but we felt that was more safe than what we were suffering at home or under whatever caregiver. And so, Annie, that's pretty much the topic that I brought up today. And we'll see if any callers or anyone else would have an interest in talking about that, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, shall we start with our panel of Will and Penelope and ask them to contribute?
Absolutely.
Okay. Will, would you like to say something?
Yes. I was trying to take down all the notes of all the different organizations because I work with a homeless shelter, so I'm trying to remember everything that way because we have a lot of – we deal with a lot of runaway kids as well, especially like once they turn 18. And so I was just trying to get a lot of the organizations down because I was young when I ran away. I was about 7 or 8, but I understood where you're coming from, how they say most runaways, you know, run to escape the bad. But luckily, I was still young in the sense that I was able to run to the school and get help. And so that kind of catapulted me into doing this. But I know when I work with a lot of juveniles, most of them are runaways, and it's really hard to run away from a home and have somebody call and be like, oh, yeah, that's my son. They ran away, and you have to go right back into that environment. There's not many places that these kids can go to escape that kind of abuse, even if it's for, like, a week or so. Like, so I really like what y'all are doing and how y'all have somewhere in place for them to go. That way they can kind of escape and then, you know, maybe get the laws involved, get CPS involved or something. So I think that's really, really, really important.
Yes. Well, Will, you're right on point, and I got it all listed under the help tab of freechildproject.com. www.freechildproject.com. And I will tell you this, when I was talking, also you'll find information about this. The reason why we want the U.S. to ratify the Declaration of Rights of the Child is because, see, CPS has a separate approach for how they see rights for a child. And the court has a separate approach. And social services has a separate approach. It's all policies. There's no established rights for the child. See what I mean? So by ratifying these rights, it'll all of a sudden change a lot of circumstances that families and children go through once they mistakenly go to the system to get help. I say mistakenly because somebody's got to be sacrificed. When you go to get help and you're a dad, you might get sacrificed, you know, as the person who caused it. It's a liberal state right now of those systems and very dangerous. So we need a basic list of rights, which is right there in the United Nations for children, and have that trickle down from Washington, D.C., throughout all the systems, all the way to the group you work for, you know? So we're all on the same page, you know?
Yes, no, that's awesome. That's all I've got to say for now.
Thank you, brother. Your insight's very important because there's where a lot of the abuse is going to happen and a lot of deaths are going to happen is with runaways. That's why I thought I'd bring it up, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when I ran away, I don't know. I was one little brave Irish kid, you know what I mean? Because all I knew was mountains and forests and stuff like this. And next thing you know, I'm in the big cities. And we're talking about the late 60s and early 70s, where pimping was big and hustlers all over the place. I mean, nightlights. It was the most amazing thing. It was like, you know, when you go to a circus or a fair at night when it's dark, how lit up it is and exciting it looks.
Yeah.
That's how it is when you run away and you're a kid in the city, you know? And you actually have people that are just like the games and everything. Come on over here and take this game. Come on over here and do it, you know, that are hustling kids and, you know, giving them a better life by being a prostitute or selling drugs or whatever the case may be. It's very dangerous, you know?
Very, very dangerous. And that's what we try to tell most of our kids because, or most of mine, when they're like, oh, you know, I ran away because it's better. I'm like, it's only better because you're so narrow-minded right now. Like you have more freedoms, but nothing is free. And so then that's when you say they get into the rings with all being prostituted and all that. And like, before they know it, it's like, okay, was I better off staying in the abuse or am I better off now? And so it's like a never-winning cycle.
Yes, yes. You get pleasure with your senses, but your mind and your soul and your emotions get completely destroyed and messed up when you run away, you know? It's a terrible thing, man. And it's sort of like, you know, being an Irishman, I'm always going to violate, so I'm sorry. And anything that I say, NASCAR's got nothing to do with it, all right? But it's sort of like many cases of abortion where the woman has to go through the rest of her life with regret or she has no conscience, you know? It's sort of like that where you can never be fixed if all these bad things happen to you, you know? You live your whole life in therapy. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that. I've been in therapy for, like, almost 16 years, on and off. So I know how a childhood can keep you in therapy throughout the rest of your life. So I agree with that.
I tried to be practical, Will. I tried to look, you know, I didn't know how to fix cars, so I wanted a girlfriend that was a mechanic, right? I needed therapy, so I was looking for a psychiatrist to date, you know? I was trying to be practical, but you never really find that answer. And that's one of the problems a lot of us suffer, is there is no complete satisfaction for a lot of us. I get up in the morning and go, all right, another day, here we go. You know what I mean? The game is on. But a lot of life is fractured. The pieces, it goes so long for us adults that suffer child abuse that the pieces are never found or are never put back together. And hopefully there's something we can do to prevent that from happening to the lower generation, the children, you know?
Yes, sir.
And then, Ayo, Will. You got to you get the situation where, like, there's a lot of narcissists and self-indulgent people, right?
Yes, sir.
I go around the city sometimes, and I'll say, I got a cold. And I start talking about it, and everybody will over-talk me, you know, a lot of people, that they're more sicker, that they're this and that. What I'm trying to say is there's a whole lot of victims out there that ain't really victims. We have that problem, you know, where we're trying to state our case, trying to state what we're going through, and we're up against people that want to be a bigger victim than you, and it's false. In other words, they're not getting any help. They're creating circumstances. Do you notice a lot of that happening?
For us, it's, I wouldn't say, for us it is, the kids are constantly being told that your trauma isn't as significant as another person. That's what I found, like a lot of the staff and a lot of people that I work with, even now, I always get onto them because they're like, what you're going through ain't nothing compared to what so-and-so is going through. And I always have to stop them. Like, that's not true. Just because your trauma is minuscule and minute to you doesn't mean that that's not monumental to someone else. Even if the trauma for that person is, oh, I don't have money to feed my kids tonight or my lights getting turned off tomorrow, like that is trauma in itself versus someone else who's like, oh, my trauma was I was beaten, raped, and molested every day of my life. I was in a car accident, so my whole family died, and I lost all my legs and arms. Like, that's very traumatic. Like, in the Hollywood scheme of it, that's very, very, very trauma-filled and traumatic. But
yeah,
it's your trauma. So you cannot, what I've learned, you cannot put a level of magnitude on trauma. Like, everyone's trauma is different. And so that's what we see a lot of, and that's what I'm trying to get rid of, especially in, like, our language. Because I find myself doing it sometimes, like, oh, what you're going through isn't that, but like I said, it's your trauma and it's yours. So that obviously, yeah, that's one of the biggest issues we have. So I agree with what you're saying, but it was like in a different setting.
Yes. No, let me tell you, you're right on point. Something in my experience actually taught me that I was facing 7 years for armed robbery, right? I robbed the judge, DAs, and police in a bar. They were having a big party, all right? And I did the Robin Hood thing. You know, I was all proud of myself. And so I'm facing 7 years, you know what I mean? Next to me is a guy, I'll never forget him, a friend of mine. I've known him for years. He's in the cell next to me. He gets 90 days. For some crappy beef, right? His wife leaves him, and he hangs up. He committed suicide. He got 90 days. I couldn't get over that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, what's 90 days, man? You just do push-ups or whatever, you know, and you get out. All right? It goes by very quick. You actually only do 45 days. You don't do the 90, you know? I'm doing 7 years, and it's nothing. I'll find a way. I'll escape even if I had to. You know what I mean? That kind of frame of mind. And this person had the frame of mind that as his wife left him, he's lost everything. And he took his own life. So the point you were making is people are made differently. Everyone is made differently. And this group photo thing going on where everybody's supposed to be the same, you know, I can't be Irish. I got to be white. You know, that's kind of crazy. Where'd my culture go? I'm not down with the Anglo-Saxons. What is this about? You see, when all that's going on, it minimizes the reality of our lives, you know?
And
yeah, you're right on point, man. Good job.
No, and yeah, you touched on it. Like, we are all, especially, like, I just had to do a paper over this, one of my sociology classes. It's this tough guys paper. It's about how we over, the toxic masculinity that we teach our young men growing up, that, you know, boys don't cry, you have to be a big, strong man. And so I think when we do that, we kind of desensitize them to the world and stuff like
right.
that. And that's why we can't, men can't process as much as women do. And so you do see a lot of men commit suicide when their loved one leaves and stuff like that. One of my best friend's dad growing up, he killed himself about 6-7 years ago because his wife left him. And so it's
yeah,
always
amazing.
The men, because I think it's we put a lot of strain on men to be hyper-masculine because, like you said, like the world has taught us that men are always the strongest. Men always have to survive. And so, and it goes back to, I think that's why men cannot process trauma as well either, because we are the worst. But yeah, I'm the worst at processing trauma. Like I said, I spent 16 years on and off in therapy. I'm 29 now, so I'm like, hey, at some point I knew that I cannot get through this world on my own.
Right. You know, when you think of the word trauma, you know what comes in my head? Mama. Trauma, mama. In other words, the only way you could get healed is to be hugged again by your mother, and she's healing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
That might be a man thing, you know. But you're right. We are raised differently, and I know we're different. I still say that men should be given a pill when they start dating, when they can tolerate some of the changes women go through, you know. That was supposed to be humor, Will, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, we can laugh on the show, you know what I mean? No, the trauma is complex. And coming from abuse, especially if you have no answers for it, you know?
No.
Can be haunting.
Did, sorry. Annie, did y'all have anything to say? I think we brought this.
Let's see. I did write something down. It was, yes, it was to buy your book, Reverend Hank. That was the only note. I will say thank you for all of those phone numbers, and I'll go to that website and print them out. So, but other than that, I don't have anything yet. But we have another guest on, and that is Darlene from Tennessee. Do you have
cool.
a question or a comment, Darlene?
Yes. I just laughed when they was talking about the ethnicity. You know, you're not just, you might be the color white, but there's other things that's in you, Irish, German, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You are an individual. It don't matter what you are. And I seem to think that the reason, well, we all were, as we were abused, we were taught it was not okay to cry. And still today, even as a female, I have a lot of the issues because I was always differentiated and told, like, whenever I kept having miscarriages, I had trouble, you know, I kept losing, you know, kids and stuff. And, I'd seen how other people were, like, healed and consoled and everything, but I was told, get over it. Just get over it all my life,
yeah.
No matter what, even as an adult. So it's not just, I know that a lot of guys have that problem because they were told it's not okay to show emotions. You got to man up. You got to be strong. You got to be the backbone of the family. Look at all that pressure that's put on the male as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're on point. No, no. What you're saying is very important. Keep going. I like to hear the twang of your accent. I like it. Go on. Kick it.
Well, thank you. I try to hide that twang a lot. I might need to try to change that a little bit.
No, that's good shit. Go on.
But it's like I really feel for you guys, because it's like, you know, you could go like this and you try to show emotions. Right now, a lot of people tell me, okay, it's okay to cry, but now I can't cry because I've got the traumatic brain injury, so it causes me to have a stroke, so I can't never get over and deal with the pain that the past has caused me, okay? So it's a life or death situation with me if I try to, because of the, you know, the brain injuries and stuff, okay? So it's, and I understand what y'all have went through. I had a boyfriend that committed suicide when he was 23 year old.
Wow.
And so I understand the devastation and a lot of things that, yeah, when a guy feels like he's lost everything and he was a, like, for instance, he told me to go find find this other guy because I refused to have sex before I got married, okay? I was trying to be a Christian lady, whatever, you know?
Good.
Little did I know about a lot of the abuse that already happened to me, the sexual abuse. But later on, I did marry somebody else, you know, it wasn't long. I did go ahead and accept that guy because I had to get out of the abusive relationship at home with my parent, with my mom, my stepmom. And he came and seen me and my husband at her place and said, I made the biggest mistake. I really thought you would never have sex because of all the sex abuse. And I was like, what sex abuse? He knew about the sex abuse, and yet I didn't know about it yet. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And now, you know, with him killing himself, I don't know what he knew or what was shared with him or who shared this and that or the other with him or whatever. I just knew he was a friend of my stepbrother that was part of attacking me one time too. But he carried that to the grave with him about so many things that he had to just hold on to, and he blamed himself.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? He blamed himself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I understand the way things work. Men find it very hard to admit any kind of sexual abuse they suffered as a child, you know?
Right.
It's very difficult, yeah. Wow.
Yes, it is. So I don't really know if he...
You guys
I don't know if he...
More.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually had been abused himself. He was a looker and everything, and, you know, he really hated that I said he looked just like Sean Cassidy, and he did. And he didn't like all these women's come-ons to him and stuff. There was so much. It's, you know, I wish I had known about him, and he wouldn't let me open up his heart and let me know what was going on with him, you know?
Yeah, right.
And
so
that leads me to believe that he probably was, you know?
Yeah. How have you dealt with your personal trauma all these years?
Well... It was hard because I had, with everything that's happened to me, I got a book out there too. It's called Shattered Innocence. And I had developed alters, multiple personalities and everything because of all the devastation that happened to me. They had me in child pornography, child prostitution films and all that since I was age 2 and up, you know. So there was so much going on. And, I had learned that no matter what, I did try to call police, and police took me to Dad's, and Dad said, no, all them bruises and scars and everything is from her falling into the blackberry bushes. And my siblings told me that a car would backfire next to the school because my daddy would shoot at me with a shotgun. When I heard the backfire, I just all of a sudden ran out of school like a bat out of hell, and just and I was in shock, and I don't know where I went. I was in a state of shock, just walking on the side of the road. They had to find me and bring me back.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, the devastation and everything, but how I finally came to realize, I had to realize it was not my fault. I was a child. These were adults that were the perpetrators. I did away with family members who told me that that's God's punishment to me being a bad girl. I did away with a toxic family. Like I said, that's toxic trash. I just keep myself around positive people that's genuine, who really wants to get better and strive. You know, keep working towards a goal of healing. And I open up my heart so much to people and say, you know, you talk to me. I'll be glad to talk to you. And knowing that my voice might could help somebody else, that helps my healing too.
Yeah. That's right, being proactive. Is there a way to, where can people get your book?
It's at Amazon. There's different books. It's called Shattered Innocence, but you have to look up Darlene J. Clark, Shattered Innocence.
Darlene
J. Clark, Shattered Innocence, yes.
J. Clark, is that with a K, K-E or just a K?
Just a K.
All right.
I should have been a little bit British and did it a little bit Irish, kind of see, with the E at the end. I'm being comical, I'm sorry.
I know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. Well, that's cool. And what made you tune in tonight?
Well, I said I hadn't been at this much, and I went to the NASCA page right quick, and I seen what was going on. I said, I'm interested to see what kind of discussion's going on tonight. Yeah, I'll call in.
Yeah.
Just that little voice that told me it's a good idea to call in, basically, you know.
Well, and it is, and always encourage people too, because they're 5 nights a week, and they got the Zoom going on 3 days a week.
Yes, I was there today. I was doing that Zoom. You got Zoom going 2-3 days a week?
Yeah, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's
Eastern.
That is the Zoom, the NASCA Zoom support group. Yes, I was there today. I filled in for somebody, so I was there today. And I'll be doing it Thursday as well. I'll be a facilitator, so I hope you show up sometime as well.
Yeah. Well, this is very good. It's an honor meeting you.
Thank you. We spoke before on this radio program.
Yes, we did. We did. You get a chance, go to my Facebook page, all right?
Uh-huh.
Which is
yes.
Facebook.com/VOP, that's V, Victory, VOP, Freedom Radio. And you'll see a link right there to my the first book of a 4-book series called Slave in Modern America. And I'm actually insinuating not only was I a slave at an early age, but all children are if they don't have rights. And you can also go to, if you get a chance, www.freechildproject.com, and you'll see the big campaign I'm working on. I'd love it if you'd like to join. So.
Okay. That's
right.
Cool. Yes, that's cool. I want people to know that sometimes whenever you're born, like I was born in the South, right? So
yeah.
Our thing was we worked, cleaning up our rooms, that kind of stuff, which was needed for, especially where 9 kids were at home, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the other stuff that was not in there was not needed was, you know, being shot at, being, you know, sold and all that, the different kind of things like that. And had you really looked up the definition to human trafficking? Had you really looked up the real definition? There is basically one of the definitions in there basically is using somebody for labor, keep them there for labor, stuff like that. So it doesn't matter whether it's at home or where it's at, if you're threatened, because for the purpose of forced labor, sexual slavery, or commercial sexual exploitation, you know?
That's right.
You don't want. And see, I was trafficked. My own mom would take me to the restaurant and sell me, or she had sold me at home, you know. But we did basically modern slavery as well.
Of course. We bring all that to light in our campaign because we want the United States to ratify the Declaration of the Rights of the Child. Because then children will have rights, and all that would be completely illegal. And a lot of things would change in the system as it is today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please visit freechildproject.com.
I'm there now.
Oh. You're quite efficient.
Well, thank you. I try to be.
Yeah.
I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Well, I thank you very much. And we'll be soon reaching out to, the stars and big people on this campaign because we're getting no rhythm from the politicians, including Biden. Yeah, I think Biden sent me a letter. But it was like, you ever see that first piece of paper where you do your ABCs in kindergarten?
Right.
It looked like that. I'm only kidding.
And to go along with what you're discussing also, the Free Child Project, you know, and you're saying about to help end child abuse and child sex slavery, I'm looking at that September 1st ongoing, you know. I wanted you to know about that telethon that's also going on, Human Trafficking Telethon, October 29th and October 30th in North Carolina at traffickandrescue.org.
Yeah.
I'll be on that telethon, which a couple other people is going to be out there too.
Very cool.
Ask the people.
Yeah, very cool. It's all part of the same fight, you know. And sex slavery, I have some films up there in your spare time. You watch some of it where I'm explaining the up-to-date statistics and everything else. It's multi-million dollars. And it's part of the reason the rights are not ratified by the United States is because then we could go to a higher court if they didn't take care of business. We know that there's members of politics and big people that go to countries where you can have 12-year-old kids for sex. We know that.
Exactly.
We know what's going on. It's always going to be, ever since we were little, everyone knows the well-to-do get the way. You know, they always get
right.
the way. And until we can blanket this and make it, you know, I can understand talking about equity, you know, that's all fine and well, but there can be no advancement of humanity if children do not have rights. You know what I mean?
Right. Like my sister and brother that was older than us, that when mom and dad would abandon us, and they were under 12 years old. And so they were left with five little tiny ones at home. And so they didn't go to school because they didn't want to leave those us tiny ones that's still in diapers and an infant and, you know, all of us running around without any kind of supervision. It was too dangerous.
Yeah. It was too dangerous.
You know what? My siblings had no
now.
Rights.
Yeah.
You know, my siblings had no rights. You know, they just, you know, and she was actually sold, mama sold her to a police officer when she was a teenager, well, right around 10, 11 year old. And my sister ran away from that officer. The officer was supposed to capture her until she was old enough to marry, and then they marry.
Yeah. And so,
you know, there was expected other things that supposed to went on. Well, my sister ran away from there, and then mom put her back at an orphanage, and then she went and got her back out again, and then she took her back to that officer. Then my sister ran away again. This time mama kept her and put her back in an orphanage, kept her in there, and then she aged out in the orphanage.
It's incredible, right?
Yes, it is.
And she was messed up as a result, because who the hell
cares? And this
was
a police officer. A police officer, somebody that's supposed to protect us.
Everybody acts so shocked. You know what I mean? Everybody is so shocked, all right? And I got to keep reminding in my head that the majority of the population are sheep. The majority are sheep. They will just do whatever the power people say, and they'll look the other way. This is the way it is. But we need more champions. And there's no better champions, no better champions than those who have suffered, than those who have gone through trauma and abuse. We should be the leaders. We should be the champions. And we should be the politicians.
Yeah, for the people, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
For the people.
Yeah, everybody, if you look at Washington now, they talk about the Kennedy. Well, this is not a political show, but what I'm trying to say is, right, they run everything, and we're butting our heads against the wall until we can get them out of the picture or make maneuvers that are really about rights. And until all the politicians talk about, and the politicians represent me, you, and all of us, all right, when they the primary issue is about children, then I'll listen.
Well, so they don't even...
I don't want to hear nothing about.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad, you know. I'm glad there's been some states that's opened a statute of limitations for sexual abuse, but then there's other states, you know, there's more that needs to be done. Like, I was doing an interview for the... sexual trafficking, the human trafficking thing for the telethon that's gonna be happening at the end of October, and she had asked me one thing on what could have been done, and I was like, what could have been done to stop that when I was 2 years old when this stuff was going on? Excuse me, if I go back to the what ifs, that's making me worse, because it's like, it's what can I do today? But then I did say there is something. Why, when the principal had called me to the office, knew that I was being abused, and yet I did not say I was being abused, right? And then I find out years later the reason why he called me to the office is because he just wanted me to say I was being abused, but he knew I was being abused, but just needed me to say it. Then he could take me to safety. I said, How come y'all couldn't take me to safety, and y'all, how come there wasn't a rule? Because there was no way. I was already conditioned. I'm not supposed to talk.
Well, see, there's
an example.
There's an example why we need blanket rights for children. There's an example. So if you, in your professionalism, see it, sense it, know it to be true, act on it. Because you can't.
Exactly.
Because the child has rights. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I might be dead today. Thank God I'm not dead. But it did get a lot worse, you know. I was in a coffin up underneath the house, left to die, but somebody rescued me, thank God. But that's beyond. But the thing about it is, I said, but if I would have told, y'all would have sent me back home until they evaluated whatever. That was my thinking, right?
Yeah.
And he says, no, we already had you a place. If they already knew about it, already had me a place, why was I needing to say anything if they already had all the evidence showing that this had happened? Why did they need, it was too dangerous to speak.
Yeah.
Some laws need a force to, you know, where they could go ahead and take the child in safety if they got all this evidence out there.
That's right. That's right. And
I'm sorry, I better get off my soapbox a little bit.
Nope. I like that twang. Keep it going. But that's why we gotta get the blanket rights, because like I said, every agency has a different policy, a different approach, a different leader, a different, everybody gets to put in their own, you know, and at the end of the show, like in family court, they call it in the best interest of the child, yet they never even talk to the child, you know.
Exactly.
It's always which side they choose. I mean, the whole thing is so confusing because children don't have rights. I'm telling you, they don't. Animals are getting more rights than they are now, thank God, because people are killing animals for no reason, too, you know, but you know what I mean?
I say that a lot of times. I say, you know, animals got more rights and more people's taking care of the animals more so than they are taking care of kids. And I said, that's a shame.
It is a shame. Your car has more rights. That's what the warranty is.
Yeah, but you could go ahead and kick your car. You could kick your car and stuff like that. Then you'll get in trouble saying it's you're being too violent, too hostile or something, right? But, if somebody let something happen to somebody and then there's somebody higher up in the legal system, so they're going to say, just let it slide, you know?
There's always going to be pushback. And I said, I don't know if you heard it when I said it, Darlene, but because I said it earlier in the beginning when I was talking to Will, but I noticed a high number of, you remember when they heavily did the Me Too thing?
Yes.
So many women jumped on that and they were full of beep. They just wanted attention. There's a whole bunch of sick people out there trying to be victims, and they don't understand they're hurting the real victims, and they're causing a desensitization amongst other people like authorities and police who don't want to hear it really. You know what I mean? You start talking to them, and they look at their watch. You know what I mean? It's like a psychiatrist sitting there. One psychiatrist told me he does this. People are talking to him, and he nods his head, and he's thinking to himself, okay, I got to get milk when I get home. Don't forget to put gas in the car. He's not even listening.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
This is what we're up against, Darlene. We got to take it in our own hands and move ahead. We're the champions. We got to gather up as many real victims as possible and give them leadership. Empower them. Train them to change the world.
You know, I had seen a new tip out there, and I'm not sure whether you have heard this or not, or y'all have heard this, but there was this person that kept every morning he'd go out to his daughter's car, and he'll see a ribbon tied around her door thing on her car, right?
Yeah.
And the daddy had to keep cutting it off and everything. And he called his brother that's law enforcement, you know, works for law enforcement. And he said that that's what traffickers do. They'll mark a car for whoever's driving it. And so if this person that's a trafficker sees the ribbon on the car door handle, then they go and try to kidnap that person. So be aware, people, for ribbons that might be tied on your door handles and stuff.
I have heard that, yes.
And I think that's important for us to know, to check around the car and everything. If you see some kind of Kleenex hanging up underneath where you're going to do the handle car, don't remove it physically with your hands, because sometimes it's laced with something else, some kind of chemical that makes you end up passing out or something. It gives them another way to be able to kidnap you, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I know. Have you ever, you know, a group, it'll be at my at the website there, Free Child Project, but look into Operation Underground Railroad. when Underground
oh,
Railroad
yeah, I know
stopped,
about that. I know,
yeah,
I know about the,
these guys taking
yeah.
over. They're ex-military, ex-police, and they don't follow. In other words, they may not contact local authorities that they're going to raid a house until they're already in the process of raiding it. You know what I mean? A very, very powerful group. They saved a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers, and a lot of people here in the U.S. And they've gone to other countries and dropped from helicopters and saved American citizens that were being sex slaves and stuff like that. This is a powerful group.
Wow.
I work with them. Operation Underground Railroad. You'd be proud to be part of them, you know?
Right. That is something
they
else,
don't
you know. Upper,
yeah. Yeah. What were
and
you
that
saying?
Was another, you know, you changed that name that you had a bad connotation to it in the past, and now it's actually got a better connotation to it.
Yeah, they took the same theory and system even. I have family members that were part of that historically.
Cool.
The Underground Railroad, all right? And but they took the same theory and they used that. People are moved around, hidden. You know what I mean? Like say it was you in another country and you're being moved to a safe zone and another safe zone until these guys can get there and get you.
Right. I said,
and they
you
show
think
up
about
with machine
it,
guns
why I said,
the whole bit.
What?
Yeah.
Why I put a negative connotation on the first one because I knew of the bad people that was trying to mimic the Underground Railroad thing too and get the people to trust them, and yet they were the bad ones, okay? So they tried to make them believe that they were the Underground Railroad people, and instead they were really doing a lot of the horrendous stuff, enslaving people and capturing and killing, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're from up north here, all right? So I...
yes.
most of my relatives are considered bad people because we did bad things to create good results. And a lot of times, in times of like today, you actually have to do that. You know,
exactly.
So, because following the rules, there is no rules. And we got to save the children. We got to fix our traumas. We got to be empowered. And we got to give leadership. You know, these are important.
Exactly.
So,
and, you know, this month is actually Child Abuse Awareness, is it not?
Yeah, yeah. And everybody's supposed to be wearing a little blue ribbon, you know. I remember years ago, Bill used to have them made, you know, and they'd send them out, you know.
Yeah, they're at the website. They're at the website for people to get.
Yeah. I wear one on my jacket every time I go to family court.
See, if I had some, I'd be around town and I would be hand them out because police officers are now coming and talking to me some of the time because of a guy across the street that causes a lot of trouble. And I said, hey, now, I'm a spokesperson against child abuse. And I said, and I'm an adult survivor of that. And when this guy across the street, he's homeless and everything, and he walks around naked in the road.
Yeah, that's
not right. I said, I don't need these kids that's coming down here being violated. It's bad enough on us adults that see that. But they says, oh, I'm sorry, some of the things we cannot do unless we hear it ourselves. I heard him threaten a neighbor saying that he was going to do them in the rear and make them bleed and stuff. And I called the police about it. And they said, we can't do that until we actually hear it ourselves. Why can't they do something about it? There was two of us adults witnessed that. And they're not wanting to do their job. I was so mad.
We're here in New York, and they haven't had drug busts in our area in about maybe almost a year. It's hands off. Everything is wacko now. And they come up with all these weird excuses of why not to intercede. The person has mental illness. Just leave them alone. All this other kinds of stuff. Everybody's mentally ill, I guess.
Yeah, it's, now the guy, now the guy's been, he knocked the railing that holds, there's two columns that holds the front porch roof on. He knocked one of them down, and now instead of sleeping inside that house, he's been sleeping on a porch and sleeping bag. A while ago, somebody dropped him off a bed and threw it out in the yard, so I guess he's going to start sleeping on the ground in the bed. And I'm like, this place is getting worse, man.
It is. That's why you make your house the outside, make it look all raggedy with no lights, but inside make it a beautiful castle, you know what I mean? And just chill.
Well, I live in an apartment, and I never looked at this place as being home. I'm from the country, and I'm a city girl that's misplaced in the, I'm a country girl misplaced in the city, you know. Maybe
yeah.
One day I'll find the right place I need to be, but right here is not the place I need to be, you know. But
yeah.
Nashville's a place I need to be, which is good.
Yeah, that's good. And also, in thinking in terms of runaways in your area, right?
Uh-huh.
When you get a chance, go to nationalsafeplace.org. Nationalsafeplace.org. Put in your zip code and see if there's safe places in your area where runaways in your area could actually go to, you know, that don't quickly call their parents or the abuser up or whatever, you know what I mean, that help them out. And if there isn't,
I don't think there's actually a safe place around here that does that, according to, just because of the laws, you know.
Yeah,
we gotta contact your parent.
Look into that, because you could talk to your church, and they could register with them as a safe place. You see?
Well, I didn't talk. Tried to get the church I was going to, and now I no longer go because they're not even want to hear anything about childhood abuse or nothing like that. They just want to take it like, you know, just treat me like I'm an outcast because of me being abused. And I'm like, this is important. I'm here to help you open your hearts and have compassion to people that this has happened to. You need to open your hearts instead of hardening your hearts.
Yeah.
And so basically, they closed their hearts. And so I said, well, I don't belong here if I gave them 2 years worth and nothing's being done still, and I'm still, you know, it's like
do you
they're
think
not wanting
Darlene,
to do anything.
Darlene, take a moment
yes?
and think about this. And anyone else listening, take a moment and think about this. Do you think that everyone that's a grown-up, when they hear about abuse, they think to themselves that somehow they may have abused someone or some child at some time? Do you think that happens to people? And so it has them rejected?
See, what I had noticed, the preacher himself was acting like he was understanding when he was here. But then I go in church and he goes, well, I know nothing about this kind of thing. And he says, I'm along with this other person and totally pushed what I had said out of the line and said, I'm all for what this other person's saying, not nothing she's saying, you know. And I'm like, oh, no.
Well,
that went a little bit too far.
You want to know what you could do or somebody could do? The libs like to use the word consortium. Create a consortium of churches with one head church that has a meeting every 90 days regarding child abuse and families. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And all the churches would get down with it, see, because they have to get down with it. But if you don't have something like that, you can't get down with it. There's no place to go.
Right.
Create.
Exactly.
Listen, life is like a piece of Swiss cheese. All them little circles, That's for you to create something in it. And if there isn't something you need, make it. Take it by force and make it. Envision it, see it, and create it. So the moving
churches.
Yeah,
I got ideas and wish I could afford a website and have my own website out there really promoting some of this stuff, you know. I'm like, oh.
You can do that too, but what kind of churches you got in your area? What kind of churches you got in your area?
Well, let's just say that I tried and a couple other people tried at their church and everything, and nobody wants anything to do with it around my area, which is sad.
Is there, what are they, Presbyterian?
There's Catholic, there's Methodist, there's Church Christ, there's Church God, there's Assembly of God, there's Baptist, there's Pentecostal, there's Lutheran somewhere around here lost in the mix.
Who's the one that hands out the food the most?
That's there's one Church of Christ that does, and then there's a Methodist that does, yes.
All right. Those would be the
target. And
that's
who I tried. My friend tried to get me to do a support group there, and they wasn't for it.
Well, try the Presbyterians or the Baptists.
Because a lot of this stuff's got to be pressed on, you know?
Yeah.
But again, some of the people are afraid to acknowledge, because there are a lot of churches that the people, pastors or whatever, have been coming up about sexual abuse as well. So maybe they're afraid of getting into the intermix of it.
That's one item. But a smart church would push that aside. And there's plenty of good churches, good people that want to do something special for the community. And the most vulnerable people right now in the whole United States of America are families, two-parent families, and children. That's it. They're the most vulnerable.
Do you know how... That is a shame for how some people take people that's been married for a long time and they got a good relationship, and they all start to be criticized. Oh, you're not getting around and doing this certain thing. You're whipped by your wife and all this other kind of stuff. Well, that's crazy. You know, no, you respect your wife. You're doing what's best for the family,
month.
You know.
Where
did that go?
That the big game now is the single parent. They're going to get all the funding. The government will do anything to make nothing but single parents everywhere, because that allows them to provide what they want in place of the father or in place of the mother. It's a scheme, and it's been working, you know?
Exactly. That's a way to help divide everybody up as well.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want
oh, yeah.
people to be united.
Yeah.
But, you know, united we stand, divided we fall, right?
Yeah,
united we stand, divided we fall. Ain't that right?
Yes. One of the child's rights is to have both parents. See, the U.S. don't want to ratify this at the present stage of things, and that's why we have to push it. Every child deserves both parents, and both parents need to put all else aside and get whatever training they need, you know, and whatever's necessary, therapy they need. Therapy shouldn't cost $1 million for poor people, and you shouldn't have to get on welfare in order to get therapy. You know what I mean?
One thing that you've got to realize, too, is that not every parent deserves to have a child, but every child deserves good parents.
Yes, that's forgotten, just like it's forgotten. Nobody wants to hear me say it, but I'm going to keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, because it's true. My daughter, right?
Right.
I created her. I created her. I didn't, hey, you want to get pregnant, and we make plans and everything else, and then we split up after you have the child. That I didn't. What are you talking about? Or she could abort the child. Well, because she likes somebody else and she's mad at me? What? I got nothing to do with that child because the child is in your belly, darling? Something's wrong with the picture here. I created the child, too. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't me. We're not at the test tube baby zone yet where the libs are trying to take this, all right? You know, where you can order your baby online, you know?
Yeah, well, you can pick it to go ahead and say what gender you're going to have, you know? But the thing is, you know, I like the mystery of when the baby's born, knowing what the baby is then. You know, that's most of the excitement. Is it a boy or a girl? You know, I don't really want to. It's kind of just part of a surprise, you know. That's always been really good to me, and it's shocking how they could go ahead and say, okay, you're going to have a boy, you can prepare, whatever. I get that. A lot of people could understand that concept of it. But, you know, it was kind of funny. They kept telling me that my oldest son was going to be a girl. My oldest son through marriage was going to be a girl. But when he was born, it was a boy. It was a boy. It was just that the cord was wrapped in a certain way. They thought it was, you know.
Yeah. You know? Well, in modern time, they would assassinate the shit out of that. And they'd talk to your son, all right, and say you were supposed to be a girl. And we'd be in all kinds of trouble right now.
Yeah.
In modern day.
I went ahead and bought a girl outfit. And the lady that was in my hospital room, they were expecting a son, right? So, but instead they had a girl, okay? So we just changed outfits. You know, she gave me the boy's outfit, and I gave her the girl's outfit. So that worked out, you know.
There's a normal
So we
sex.
Had an outfit where we could change out, you know.
Yeah.
That was really sweet and kind of them, you know.
Yeah. Normal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where did society
you know,
go today
reality.
To know what it's all about? What about me? What can I get out of this? You know, instead of how can I help this person? You know,
yeah.
Where did all that go? Where it's like, you know, you see somebody broke down on the side of the road, just forget about it. You know what I mean? Yes, I would be leery about doing that, but at least call for help or something. Like there was this guy that broke down on the side of the road when I did have a car. I was so afraid stopping at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay?
Yeah.
But I knew that he was far away from every gas station in the area, right? So I stopped and come to find out he was out of gas, and so I took him to, you know, close to where I lived because that's where the closest gas station was. But, you know, he wanted to pay me back by giving me a battery for my car, a brand-new battery. But I wouldn't accept it, even though I needed a battery, okay?
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about me just doing something that's right.
That's good.
Where did that go today, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's true. Nobody. Where do you see when the snow starts falling? Nobody goes door-to-door, knocking on the door and shoveling snow for the old folks. It's not even done anymore. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
it's
and that's. And I got a neighbor over here. She's got cirrhosis of the liver because of the medications that she takes, and she's diabetic. And every few weeks, she has to keep going back in the hospital and have blood transfusions and stuff. So she's not really in good shape. And back when I was going to church, she said, "Please pray for me at church." And preacher had heard her say that, and we agreed we would pray for her at church. Okay, when we went to church, and how the woman both stayed quiet, so I stayed quiet, you know. And so, anyway, they said anybody to pray for her, and I was waiting on the preacher to announce about my friend needing prayer, right? And he would never announce it, or so that she wasn't prayed for. And so right after, there was a short break in between the thing, and I went up to the person that made announcements, and I said, "Please put my neighbor such and such on the prayer list. She needs prayer." Did you know they says, "Well, she don't really go to this church enough to really add her to a prayer list." I thought,
yeah,
what?
That's modern-day church for you. Yo, God, God is working overtime over there where Russia's happening and all that stuff. I can't blame
you. Oh, yeah.
things are really weird. Can I ask you to do something, please, Darlene?
Yes.
You said you went to this site, right? Free Child
uh-huh.
Project. Do you still have it up?
No, it closed out, but I could get there real quickly.
Okay, could you do that?
I just started typing it in there, and it's back up there now. Yeah, okay, I'm here.
All right. Now go to the More tab.
Okay.
And it
Sign
says business.
Email.
Where it goes teamwork. You see
well,
the
that's
word?
It more. It wants me to sign up first, okay?
Well, I don't have that.
Well, you're already joined there, so you don't have to, you know.
Yeah. But anyways.
I'm going to sign in with Facebook anyway, so maybe that would help, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm putting continue as such and such as Darlene. So let's see what happens here. Okay, it's now I'm signed in. Now I'm clicking more, and what do you want me to see?
Whatever. Oh, teamwork. When you see the More tab and you move the mouse down, it'll say teamwork and our friends.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that now. It finally popped up.
Okay.
A few seconds ago it did.
All right. So go all the way almost down to the end of the page, and you'll see the blue campaign.
Okay, the blue campaign.
See it?
All right.
All right. That's the federal government's national campaign to stop, to counter human trafficking. All right?
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing.
Yeah, I see you were right here. Operation Underground Railroad, the Truth and Consequences. Then there's NASA,
yep.
Amber Advocate, Blue Campaign. There you go. You said Blue Campaign, right?
Yep, Blue Campaign.
Okay, I see it. Yeah, okay.
Right. So you would go there, and they'd send you. You can put up that you want so many posters, so many postcards, you know, that you can hand out. And it makes people aware of indicators for human trafficking and sex
mm-hmm.
trafficking and stuff
right.
like this. It's great. Great stuff. I got boxes they sent to me for free, you know. And
wow.
I went around to churches and distributed them and went to places because a lot of people, they hear about sex trafficking, but they don't know how to read the signs, you know, in a human being. Or
yes.
in the neighborhood. You know what I mean, right?
And I see
and
when
they
even got a thing right here where it says training, where you got the blue campaign, changes course. So they actually give you courses in this as well.
Oh, yes. And if you go back up to Underground, Operation Underground Railroad.
Yes.
You get a little certificate, and it's easy to do. It's a nice certificate. And it's free, and they give you a course. I think it's maybe a half hour, less than that, on how to recognize sex slavery, how you recognize these kind of labor slavery, you know, how you recognize it in your neighborhoods or big cities. So that's really cool, too. They do a course, too, you know?
So I've got a... YouTube channel, but I haven't figured out how to invite anybody on there to communicate with me or whatever. I'm new about that, but I call it Child Abuse Awareness.
Yeah.
But I would love to, you know, start putting a lot of this on there. You know, about
yeah.
the different things like this. And we like if I had you on there, we could discuss each, you know, at one time discuss, you know, because a lot of people had asked me, says, how do you recognize some of the signs of somebody who was sexually abused, okay? And
yeah.
I had different talks about that, but still they do not understand the concept of, of that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to break it down, you know.
From some of these places, you can take courses to recognize child sex slavery, adult sex slavery, or just plain old slavery.
Exactly. And I've had a dating site, and it's kind of horrible how these guys, they'll say something like, well, you're an adult, you got a choice, so, and they're thinking that my choice should be automatically yes about sex, okay? When they say, you got a choice now, and, my choice if I say, it's my choice if I say no. Don't say that no, you say yes, because now you got a choice. That would mean I still had no choice and no voice.
No.
How stupid are these guys that really think this crazy crap?
It's funny you bring that up. When I was a little kid and I got in trouble, right, the police officer said to me, and it was while I was a runaway, you know, you have choices. And he evidently didn't realize, you know, you're not fully grown, first of all. And second of all, you're not aware of any choices other than the one you made. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Sometimes our choices and opportunities for choices are limited.
Especially when we've been so victimized and we're afraid of
exactly
the repercussions, and no matter what, and you, like, I witnessed a brother running away a couple of times, and I saw the repercussions he faced after running away,
God, yeah,
you know, for this.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
yeah,
it was horrible.
And now they say, now psychologists say, if you don't run away, something's wrong from you. But back in the days, running away, you were the bad one, and your family were suffering some terrible thing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And see, like one time when my kids, my oldest son, you know, for marriage, and he was a little boy, had grabbed my son's head and was doing it every day and banging his head, my son's head against a tree. So I went to the teacher, and he's in kindergarten. I would thought that the teacher kept a better eye and would see this going on, right? I said, I'm going to teach my son to fight to get out of that situation because no adult is taking care of him. And she said, I'll fix their little red wagon. I said, well, you better do something about keeping a watch on him better than trying to fix whoever's red wagon. My son did not deserve having his head bashed into a tree and stuff like that. And you're lucky that he's alive and told me about it because, you know, I'm about to do something about it. If he comes back home again and says this was done, you better keep a better eye on him because I'm fixing to go higher up than you.
Yeah. You ever watch your old brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, yeah. I like them. The Soggy Bottom Brothers,
yeah,
or whatever they're
Yeah, I'm like the main actor, George Clooney. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much my life, but they had the twang you got.
I'm so sorry about my twang.
Yeah. But I think we covered an awful lot of stuff tonight, you know?
Yeah, I hope I didn't. I hope they don't think that I tried to man the whole show.
You did it because you're from Tennessee. That's the way you are, you people out there.
I did. Well, I felt like there was some important things that needed discussion and brought to awareness that a lot of people are not recognizing today.
It's true. And when you get that material from the Blue Campaign, now you can trick every church to be involved. That's right.
Can trick them into it?
Trick them into it. The Blue Campaign, they can't say no. Some of these posters are serious, too. They look very good.
That's awesome.
You know? So look into that. And of course, I'm sure we'll be in touch in the future as well, you know? And when you go to
and
the
I
got to
look you up at Facebook as well.
Yeah. When you go to the events page, there is two videos, right? that were mm-hmm. done where I talk about statistics and very important stuff having to do with child abuse, child sex slavery in the United States and worldwide, you know?
Right. I just sent you a friend's request at Facebook, by the way.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there's so many resources as you know, at NASCA. My God, it's immense. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. A lot of people don't understand what we're really saying, you know, about this stuff going on, you know.
Listen, they'll all get a mandatory flu shot for the government, all right?
Except
they won't
can't.
Help change. But they won't help change the quality of humanity. Majority of people are sheep. They have to be led shepherds.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. My doctor realized that one of the years I got the flea shot, they had it, you know, wrong, you know, and I almost died with pneumonia and everything. And she said, we cannot risk you having another shot and possibly about dying like you just did just from the shot. So you cannot take the flu shots.
Yeah. The whole thing was
wacko. So I cannot take a lot of them other shots or nothing either because of, you know, me being so allergic to things.
When I was a child, well, that's part of abuse too. When I was a child and throughout my whole life, I learned about the power of herbs. And that medicines were created as synthetic renditions of herbs. But the problem is you can OD on herbs and you can kill yourself on prescriptions. So moderation.
Exactly.
Moderation. But herbs are somewhat safe depending upon who you are, your age, and everything else. Same thing as any other med. But synthetic medication, there's a lot of power in that, a lot of stocks, a lot of shares, a lot of people own that, just like the vaccines, all right? Just like opioids, Congress members just dropped a lot of their stocks and shares. All these years, they've had stocks and shares in opioids that were killing everyone. You see, so you always got to look at it in a business point of view, but herbs are nature. And they were provided for our healing. And it's always good, you know, to take care of yourself the best way you can, you know?
Exactly, because that's what the old way was. They were able to cure a lot of diseases with just the herbs.
Yeah.
And ailments and everything, you know?
That's what kings and queens killed millions of people for and destroyed cultures and caused cultural genocide for, the spices and the herbs. Because they were the medicine.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they had me one time on 18 different kind of medications, and I had a bad allergic reaction about Diatribulin. But they were saying I needed those, and I just didn't want to take my medicines, and they were forcing me to take them, or we'll stop your check, you know. What a big thing, you know. And they did a blood test, found out that I was having a bad allergic reaction. I said, oh, and you couldn't tell because I couldn't get my tongue back in my mouth. I was so swollen like that, and I had bumps all over my whole body and everything else and trouble breathing. Oh, you couldn't tell that?
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it
you know,
is, ain't it?
Yes. So how do you feel?
We've only got about 1 minute left, you guys, and so I wanted to let you know that.
Yes, thank you, Annie. You're the greatest. So how does everybody feel? How does everybody feel tonight?
Good.
On my hands.
Smart ass. So we've had an informative show, a comfortable show, right? And we were lucky to have somebody informative like Darlene, who's now going to open the eyes of all the churches in her area. She just don't know it yet. And
I've been trying, so maybe this will help me open them up, you know?
Yeah. If people get a chance, get my book, Slave in Modern America. part of the royalties go toward getting rights in the United States for all children and changing the system. And I thank you, Annie. I give the floor to you, Annie.
Thank you. Did a great job.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.